Well, folks, we did it again. This is your season two finale. Massage therapist and sports injury therapist, and welcome to the Concast, a podcast where we discuss all things health, wellness, and injuries in an attempt to better understand the human body. This is episode 96. This is your season two finale. And before we get into it, I just want to take this opportunity to thank everybody. Thank everyone for listening. Thank you to everybody that has shared the podcast over this past year, has liked the podcast on various podcast platforms. It's really helped kind of catapult the podcast and get it out to more and more people. So for today's episode, I just want to take an opportunity to reflect on the year. This isn't something that I typically do in the majority of episodes that I produce. For today's episode, I have very little or very few notes. And for the process of creating an episode, which I think I maybe talked about on the season one finale, it takes a little bit of time. And usually I have a whiteboard with a number of different topics, and or people, listeners will suggest topics at different points throughout the course of the season. And I will do impromptu topics, as well as if there's injuries to professional athletes or really prominent people that sparks discussion, then I will always kind of go outside of the calendar and do an impromptu episode on that. However, thanks to everybody that continually contributes to giving me ideas for the podcast, because as we're approaching almost 100 episodes now, one a week for 2 years, as you can imagine, it becomes difficult to think about things creatively to talk about. And the thing about the therapy industry, if you're talking about a particular condition, is there so much in terms of similarity with what we do that I sometimes feel like I am repeating myself in saying certain things, particularly about rehab or manual therapy or massage therapy and how it integrates into a patient experience or a particular injury. So it's always great to get feedback as well as suggestions from the listeners. So I really, really do appreciate that. Now, how do I, after I look at that whiteboard, how do I actually create an episode? I usually go to PubMed and I try and grab two or three prominent papers in that particular topic, the field of that topic, as closely related to what we do as possible and how that might relate to you as a listener, whether you are a therapist or a individual that's seeking therapy on a regular basis, or is just listening because you like the topic of health, wellness, and injuries. I try to get papers that are relatively up to date or really prominent papers in the industry that have held the test of time for a really long time and are considered to be papers that you will return to often. I try to get papers that are looking at a number of different studies at large, so things like systematic reviews, Cochrane reviews, meta-analyses, to try and come up with the most reasonable information that I can to discuss around my topic. From there, I go through those papers, I make notes on them, I add in my thoughts, and then that's how I produce a podcast episode on my own. And a podcast episode that I'll produce by myself that's maybe 30 minutes in length might take me 2.5 to 3 hours total time, and that is the preparation, the production, and editing of the podcast, and then getting it out and queued up in social media. Now, for those of you that have been listening in season one and season two, you know that in season two, I started to interview a few more people. And I really, really wanted to interview as many people as I could, but I quickly found out that interviewing somebody, while I think it is a better podcast, takes substantially more time. So we're looking at maybe 5 to 6 hours in terms of overall, again, filming or recording rather, production. Now, from my standpoint, the actual prep is a lot less when you're interviewing somebody because you're just coming up with broad-based topics of discussion and then allowing the individual to elaborate. And because it's a conversation, you can then spin off of that and just ask questions as you go. So the prep time is really, really minimal in terms of the amount of prep that it would take me to do a podcast episode that is just me. However, the post-production or the post-recording time is substantially longer. It takes quite a bit more time to edit out a conversation, and then it takes about the same time to post it to social media. However, the conversations are usually about twice as long or three times as long as that when I will produce an episode on my own. So what I want to do moving forward for season three is change that up a little bit so I can maybe get a few more interviews. And it's just a matter of making it a priority in my schedule, although the schedule is really, really busy and looking busy for 2022. In terms of the number of countries we've reached, so far 45 countries, which is crazy to think, but very, very humbled by that. And the top three listening countries are Canada. The U.S. has made a big dent this year. The U.S. was second last year, but there are a lot more listeners in the U.S., so thank you to my U.S. listeners. And then Australia being number three, so thank you to everyone in Australia. I had a goal this year, kind of a loose goal, of trying to reach all 50 states in the United States, which I didn't do, but we had listeners in 41 states, which is great. So 9 more states to go, and to be honest with you, I'm not really sure what those states are. In terms of the listenership is still predominantly female at 2/3, and the average age range is about 34 years of age. Now, we had 3 top episodes in season 2. The number 3 most popularly listened to episode was actually a tie, and that was episode number 64, which was on rotator cuff tears or injuries. And then shout out to my colleague Eric Purvis, colleague and friend, in episode 51, where we discussed the topic of chronic pain. And that was an episode really early in season 2. So be sure to check that out if you're somebody that's dealing with persistent or chronic pain, or even a therapist that manages it on a regular basis. We had some really great discussions within that episode about the field of chronic pain, evidence-based massage therapy, education, and such. Number 2 most popularly ranked episode was episode number 55, and that was with, again, a colleague of mine named Aaron Jewett. Within that episode, we talked a lot about mindset. We talked about the hurdles that people go through. We talked about getting in a mindset that allows us to accomplish goals when we have difficulty accomplishing goals, when we don't accomplish a goal. We talked about putting yourself in positions of being uncomfortable. And I know I learned a lot within that episode, so be sure to check out episode number 55 with Aaron Jewett. And then the most popular episode of season 2 was an episode that I was really looking forward to. And at the beginning of season 2, I had a list of names that I really wanted to interview. And at the top of this list was this individual. And episode number 58 with Gil Headley was the most popular episode of season 2. So obviously people had a similar interest that I did in interviewing Gil. And one of the reasons why I wanted to interview Gil was when I was in massage therapy school 15 years ago, he was somebody that really helped me reframe how I saw the human body at the time. It made me look at anatomy in a little bit of a different light. It made me delve deeper into the study of anatomy and ultimately led to a real passion for anatomy. And I did get some kickback, oddly enough, from that episode. And I don't really think the kickback was constructive or really even discussing the topics at large. There were a few people that kind of trolled me online. And I found that interesting because they didn't really have any context or information around maybe why I interviewed Gil or even the episode. They probably didn't really even listen to the episode. And that's one of the things that I found in season 2, the real interesting fact that people will often comment on your podcast where it's clear that they have not listened to a word of it and they've taken the title of your podcast and made assumptions. And then the other interesting thing is people will comment and say that you said things that you just didn't say and then challenge you on those things, which I always find a little bit interesting, because when you come back and you say, I didn't say that, please give me a timestamp, there's really no response, or you'll get a private message. You know, they'll try and argue with you, but you just didn't say it. So it's kind of pointless to argue something that you didn't say. And when the person doesn't have any recognition of that, the argument doesn't really go any further. So I've learned within season two that as the podcast grows, you're going to be subject to kind of public criticism. Some of that's going to be valid and constructive. However, a good portion of that is going to be a little bit invalid and a little bit troll-like. And I've just kind of stopped communicating on social forums a lot as a result of that. Some might say that's unfortunate, but for me, it's just a little bit better for my overall day-to-day. I don't really want to waste time on the negative aspects of my career or a podcast, so just kind of stop sharing on social forums. And if people really want to listen to the podcast, they'll find a way to listen, and people have continued to do that, which is great. What else happened within season two? I think for me, honestly, it was really hard to stay on track probably about halfway through the year with the podcast. I was able to really dig deep and end up recording all 96 episodes. But for those of you that know, I got a puppy in August, and that has really thrown a wrench in a lot of things and made life very, very busy. And so I end up kind of recording, either batch recording podcasts or recording podcasts at really odd times of the day, end up staying up a little bit later to edit them. But as I said, one of my primary goals for 2021 was to produce another 48 episodes. Now, with everything going on in terms of my businesses and my teaching and arms of my business that I might want to expand on and push forward, I just don't really think that's going to be reasonable to do. As well as creatively, it's going to be very, very difficult to come up with weekly episodes on my own. So the goal for season three is to continue doing the podcast, because I do really enjoy doing it. But I'm going to move towards a bi-weekly format. So every second week, produce 24 episodes. And hopefully, this is the hope, that I'm able to do a few more interviews or a few more lengthy podcasts and just continue to edit them over a two-week period rather than a one-week period. Now, in saying that, I do have some individuals that I have kind of on deck and ready to go for season three, as well as some people that I want to reach out to personally and have a discussion with around a variety of topics. Some of those topics include education in massage and manual therapy, back pain, behavior, strength and conditioning, and how that integrates into the world of rehab and manual therapy, and a whole host more of other topics, as well as individuals that I'd love to reach out to and have a discussion with. So if you're listening and you're interested in being on the podcast, feel free to reach out to me. Or if you have somebody that you really want to be interviewed, then feel free to let me know, and I'd be happy to reach out to them, or just reach out to them and say, I want you to go on Connor's podcast. Now, I'm sure a few of you are wondering about that meditation streak that I had going. That was also discussed in my season two first episode, or episode 49, where I'd set out a goal for myself to move 30 minutes a day and meditate every day. And I did not complete it. At day 287, so my streak was 287 days, I forgot to meditate, and it was in the exact same way that I forgot the year prior. So in 2020, I tried to meditate for 365 days straight. I made it to 257 days. And the day that I forgot was a day that I was approaching my virtual course. I had a lot on the go. Fell asleep, woke up at 2 a.m. the next day, realizing that I had forgot to meditate, and my streak ended. So at the beginning of this year, I wanted to try and have something tangible to remember to meditate every day. So some of you might know that I was taking a bead and I was putting it in a wine decanter, and every day I would put a bead on the counter, and I would take it from the counter and put it into the wine decanter to try and keep me accountable. Fast forward to 2021, it's 287 days now, so 30 days longer than 2020. preparing again for my virtual course, and I did the exact same thing. I forgot the bead was on the counter. I went to bed. I woke up 2 a.m. the next day out of a dead sleep, knowing that I had forgotten my meditation. Now, you'd think that because I was being mindful all year and I had done this the year previous and I'd had an opportunity to reflect, I would have dealt with it in a better way. That's just a full-blown lie. I was equally as disappointed in myself for forgetting. It always takes me a few days to kind of reflect on what the actual purpose of trying to be mindful is, but I'm not going to lie that I was incredibly disappointed. I did make it 30 more days, so again, in 2022, we'll probably start that streak over. I'm continuing to obviously be mindful and meditate, continuing to move regularly, especially now with the puppy, able to get in, well, usually way more movement than I was pre-puppy because he needs a good hour at least of exercise every day. But just trying to make elements of both my physical and mental health a priority for myself, because I find that I perform better, it's more beneficial for my career, it's more beneficial for the people around me, my family and friends. The other thing that I wanted to just briefly touch on that I was really, really humbled by was the success of my course in 2021. So in 2020, there were a lot of dates that we had planned for a variety of dates within Canada. We had some international dates as well, including Costa Rica, and we were working on solidifying Ireland as well. And then we were starting some discussions within Australia also to really talk about massage therapy education and concussion. And so at the end of 2020, we kind of consolidated all of those live dates into our virtual 2-day course. And the response was great. And we did really, really well. And we were happy with the quality of the course that we put on for the first time. And so in 2021, we decided that we wanted to keep the same format. We wanted to continue to try and deliver an even better virtual course with better camera work, better quality, and just a better experience for everyone involved. And this time around, we were going to have to start the marketing solely from a virtual standpoint. One of the things that happened in 2020 was that many people that were registered for live courses were kind enough, essentially, to say, yes, I will take the virtual course. So we already had people registered and then converted them. And so in 2021, we didn't really know how that was going to work, frankly. We didn't know whether the response would be similar. We didn't know whether there would be the same interest. And it ended up being that we had even more interest this year. And people were really, really helping us in terms of spreading the word of the course and the education and some of the content that we put out, not only the content of the podcast, but the content of my team within the blog, some of the email stuff that we do, some of the social media posts that we do, just trying to bring relatively easy to read, cost-effective content and education to people that are interested in it. Not only massage therapists, just people that are interested in reading content on health, wellness, and injury. And so we had a really, really positive response to the course, overwhelmingly positive feedback for the course itself, not only the registration. And we'll just try and do it again next year and probably try to do it again just a little bit better than the year previous. So for me, 2021 was a great year, very busy from a career standpoint. Again, some ebbs and flows, but you're always going to see those things happen in your professional life and in your personal life. But that's just the reality of life itself. And really looking forward to taking some time off over the holiday season, as I usually do, and then coming back refreshed in January 2022 and figuring out how that year looks. So my hope for my business arms are, again, reduce the number of episodes for the podcast, do more interviews, produce a little bit more blog content as well, which I've been getting back into, along with having my team, Ashley and Chris, regularly contribute, as well as we're taking any guest blogs. So again, if you feel like writing or you have a number of blogs that are already written and want to contribute on our website, we're happy to have you as well. So you can reach out to me on social media. or through the website, Connor P. Collins. That's Connor with one N, C-O-N-O-R, P like Paul, Collins.com. We'd be happy to have you. So just continuing to contribute to the conversation around manual therapy, particularly massage therapy, and trying to push the profession forward and bring light to it and help individuals just think about aspects of health, wellness, and injuries in all of these different lights has been very, very rewarding for me. And I hope to continue to do that along with some of the formal teaching I do at the college level, and then continuing to morph and elevate my clinical practice. In terms of my clinical practice side of things, I want to continue to treat, continue to see more and more concussion, post-concussion syndrome, and persistent post-concussive symptom patients, which continues to just grow and grow within my practice. And there have been many days during the course of 2021 where 80% of my caseload has been concussion-based. This has been incredible for me in learning from just an in-the-trenches format, seeing patients on a regular basis, assessing patients over and over and over, and having done hundreds now of these initial assessments from individuals that have suffered from a head injury or are suffering from persistent symptoms has been invaluable for my practice and really allowed me to just gain a little bit more confidence as a clinician and be part of the discussion with a number of different healthcare providers around concussion and trying to get people the best results they can post-injury. That's really a little bit of a summary of this year. Like I said, I'm going to take the next month off. You're probably not going to see much from me. Recharge and then come back in 2022 for season 3, episode 1. My question for you that I'll leave you with for the year is, what was your highlight of 2021? Was there something that really, really stood out? Feel free to leave it in the comments below. As always, folks, I hope that you found this season and this episode to be of value to you. Have yourselves a great holiday season. Have yourselves a great weekend. And we will see you in season 3, the next one.